I haven't found a lot of people that agree with me, but maybe today I will.
I'm so scared.
Oh,
I want to know your guys' favorite Easter candy.
Oh, Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Okay. Cadbury mini eggs.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, both of those. TJ?
He's just like, yeah, yeah, cool.
No, I do love both of those that you just said.
I feel like he doesn't.
Yeah,
I...
Both of you say yours on three.
Three, no. Two, one. Robin eggs.
Yes, I knew. I knew I loved TJ. I knew.
What's a robin egg?
Yeah, I've never heard of that in my life.
What?
No, those are good.
I'm getting all of you robin eggs. We're going to eat them together.
Those are good. Okay, that's
come to my place. Okay. We're going to snack on them. It's going to be a great time.
Okay, and I can't wait. That sounds fun. Really hot take, but we're going to give it to you for today.
Thank you.
Welcome to This is Kingdom. This is Grace.
This is Talon.
This is TJ.
This is Hollis.
And today we're reading the talk. Well, we're not reading it. That would be crazy. Just
we
read
just
it.
Sit here and read it.
We're going to talk about the talk, Abide the Day in Christ by Sister Amy A. Wright.
So I wanted to share, I actually am going to read a little bit of the talk because it starts out with a super tender story. Sister Wright says, I'm going to just read it. She said it really cool. She said, it was a crisp fall day when I first heard the words, you have cancer. My husband and I were stunned as we drove home in silence, processing the news. My heart turned to our three sons. In my mind, I asked Heavenly Father, am I going to die? The Holy Ghost whispered, everything is going to be okay. Then I asked, am I going to live? Again, the answer came, everything is going to be okay. I was confused. Why did I receive the exact same answer, whether I lived or died? And this part right here, man, this part is what always hits me about this talk. She says, then suddenly, every fiber of my being filled with absolute peace as I was reminded, we did not need to hurry home and teach our children how to pray. They knew how to receive answers and comfort from prayer. We did not need to hurry home and teach them about the scriptures or the words of living prophets. Those words were already a familiar source of strength and understanding. We did not need to hurry home and teach them about repentance, the resurrection, the restoration, the plan of salvation, eternal families, or the very doctrine of Jesus Christ. In that moment, every family home evening lesson, scripture study session, prayer of faith offered, blessing given, testimony shared, covenant made and kept, house of the Lord attended, and Sabbath day observed mattered. Oh, how it mattered. It was too late to put oil in our lamps. We needed every single drop, and we needed it right now. And this part, this story just hits me, and I love that they didn't have to worry. I love the emphasis of like, it mattered. Because sometimes, honestly, come on, like even us, like we'll be going through the motions of some scripture habits or going to the temple and this and that and this and that. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it super matters in the moment. But like, what a eternal perspective to look at a story like this and be like, oh, shoot, it is going to matter. And it does matter. And so I don't even have anything fancy to say, but I would love to have some chats with you guys right now about, you know, why is it so important that we get spiritually prepped right now? And just like, what does that look like?
That's such a good question. I don't know why this is what was coming to my mind, but one time I went to a farewell, and honestly, I usually go listen to the farewell and then kind of zone out for the rest. That probably sounds bad, but you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the rest, like, it's just like, okay, cool. But this one farewell I went to, there's just this dude that got up after, no idea who he is. I'll probably never see him again. But he gave this talk and he's like, I'm going to title my talk. I'm like, you're titling your talk? Like, what are you doing right now? I'm going to title my talk now. And then he went through all these things that we feel like we should do in our life that we, you know, just kind of put off to doing later. And he's just like, now is the time to do these things. Now is the time to make the changes that you want to make. And I left feeling so pumped because I think sometimes we set up in our minds all these changes that we want to make or these things we want to do or these people we want to reach out to. And we're like, yeah, I should do that, but I don't have time right now. But his talk just hit me, like, make time for the important things. Decide to make those changes today. Decide to do those things now, because I think that's why Sister Wright in this talk was feeling okay, because she hadn't waited to make the important decisions in her life. She'd been making them her whole life. And so when this intense moment came, she's like, I'm feeling good. Like, I feel good about where I'm at, you know?
I think the tricky thing about getting ready is we don't know necessarily what we're getting ready for. And so Yeah, like 6 months before this in her life, she didn't know she was going to have cancer. She didn't know that's why her family was going to church. She didn't know that's why her family was going to the temple. And quite frankly, that's the same for all of us, us four and everyone listening, is that in all reality, we do not know what we're getting ready for. We don't know the challenges. We don't know the difficulties. We don't know what's going to go wrong. We don't know what's going to go right. We don't know what doors are going to be open, what doors are going to be closed. We don't know what we're getting ready for. But lately, I have been really deeply obsessed with being ready. And I realized that I don't want to necessarily be ready just for the things that are going to happen in my life. But I realized that I want to be ready for Jesus to come back. And I really do feel like he is on the move and he's coming and it's getting closer and closer and closer. And there is this deep rooted hope in my heart that he comes back soon. And I started realizing that I need to be ready. And I don't just need to be ready, but I want everyone around me to be ready. I want him to come sooner. I want him to come now. And I realized that I want to be ready for that. And I want to get the world ready for that. And I think sometimes that scares us. Like, we're like, I'm not really sure if I want him to come back tomorrow or even this year or even in my lifetime. But then I got to know him. And I remembered who's on the way and who's on the move. And that's why I want to be ready, is because the one who heals lepers is on the move. The one who sits down with sinners is on the move. The one who walks on water is on the move. The one who parts seas, he's on the way. The one that beats giants, that's the guy that's on the way. And I want to be ready for him because I want him to be here with me. I want him right now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want Jesus to come back. I want it to be soon. And I want to get the world ready for that day. So I'll do anything I possibly can. I will go anywhere I need to go. I will do anything I need to do because I want him to come back.
That's so good.
I'm just like freaking out right now. Okay, so hearing this, I just had to think like, what if we thought about the second coming like this? It's like, what if we thought about how us and Jesus, we're just in a long distance relationship, you know what I mean? And he's out in another
country.
I see
where you're going.
And he's not like over in heaven or somewhere crazy. Like he's just in this other place, and the only contact we could have right now are phone calls,
which is good. You know what I mean, you like your phone calls; they're good.
Yeah, and you're gonna use them. You're gonna go ahead and use them. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How about FaceTime?
Yeah. But like. And all we're doing is we're just calling him, getting to know him, learning about him, so that when he comes, we'll be ready and hyped to see him, and that we'll just be able to keep that relationship going.
I really feel like sometimes the word ready can scare us too. It's like, okay, when I'm ready, what does that mean? Like, what point do I have to get to be ready?
And I feel like we feel that specifically with the second coming.
Second coming. And sometimes we're afraid of that. It's like, wait, am I going to be ready by the time the second coming comes? Is Jesus going to be happy with who I am? Am I going to be ready? Is he going to be satisfied with me? But I think the best news about all of it is, as long as we are following those promptings of the Spirit, as long as we're doing what we know we should be doing, you are ready. And there's this saying that if you wait until you're ready, you'll be waiting the rest of your life. And I love that because we should be actively participating in what we know Jesus wants for us right now. There was this time where me and Tom were taking the train home from work, and we were talking about just decisions, how we can be ready for things. And you ever get to a moment where you feel like this big thing is coming and it happens, and you look back at your life and you're like, whoa, that's so cool how God prepared me for this one specific moment that just happened. That could be the second coming. That could be a big promotion. That could be a conversation you have to have with someone you love. And Winston Churchill, in this quote, he says, "To each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which could be their finest hour." And I love that.
Isn't that good?
Whoa.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's crazy.
Isn't it amazing? Because we have all these moments. Grace just got tapped on the shoulder. We were done. And we all have those shoulder taps in our lives where we're given something really big to do. And how better are we if we're prepared for that moment?
I
just feel like if we make the decision right now and start living like this, the day that Jesus comes can be the absolute most joyful, most beautiful day of our whole entire lives. Like the moment that we reunite with him does not need to be a scary thing. It can be so, so joyful. And I'm just like, that gets me hyped. I'm like, I'm getting ready and I'm going to get ready every single day. Not because I'm scared, because I'm hyped to see Jesus.
And it's so funny to me because everyone talks about like the moment you see Jesus again in heaven and it's going to be the most tender reunion of all time.
But they don't talk about the second coming.
Yeah, I'm like, it's the same moment. It's
the same thing.
Experiencing the same thing. Let me forget. I'm like, everyone's like, oh, I can't wait to hug Jesus in heaven. And then it's like the second coming. And they're like, oh, no, I hope that never comes. I'm like, no, you forgot. That moment is going to be just as tender if it's the second coming or if it's in heaven. Mm. You still get to have that moment with him. That's what you should be looking forward to. And I think it's so cool. And I just keep thinking about that quote because I can't help but think that those moments when we're figuratively tapped on the shoulder by God and he says, hey, this is your chance. This is your moment. Like, I have set everything up for you. I think every single moment that we have like that in life is preparing us for our last day, whether that be in the second coming or whether that be in heaven. I think it's him saying, get ready. And I'm going to prepare you because you've already had to be ready 15 times in your life or 32 times or 18 times in your life. And now when it's the big one, don't worry. You were already ready all along. You have been ready. You stayed ready your entire life. Like that moment for President Wright, when she got diagnosed with cancer and she went home and she was like, oh, my family is ready. I think that's one of those moments that in the end, whether it be the second coming, whether it be heaven, she's going to look down and she's going to say, oh, I know I'm ready for this. And I can't wait to see him. And I can't wait to hug him and be loved by him because I have spent my entire life with him.
Okay, please. I have to share the scripture for anyone who's still worried. Okay, this will solve this for you. It's in Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verses 3-5. It says, listen to him who is the advocate with the Father. And what a good name for Jesus, our advocate. Mm. Just like Grace in the courtroom, almost being an advocate.
Me, almost going to law school. I could have been. I would not have been as good as him.
Who is pleading your cause before him. And this is what Jesus is saying. So it's judgment day, second coming, and we're standing with Jesus. And Jesus says this, Father, behold, look at the sufferings and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou was well pleased. Mm. Behold, look at, please, Father, the blood of thy son, which was shed, the blood of him who thou gavest that thyself might be glorified. And here it is right here. This is for you. Whoever's listening is still a little scared for this incoming. Wherefore, Father, spare these, my brethren and sisters, that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life. That's the second coming. And there's nothing in that verse that's scary to me. I just see a loving Savior who's ready to hug us, ready to love on us. Just got to believe on him.
Y'all, Jesus is coming and you better get hyped for it.
We can't wait.
There's a day coming when the old will pass away. Every wrong will be made right. No darkness, no night. The sun will light the way. There's a king coming. The one who conquered death and grave. No more pain and no more sorrow. There's hope for tomorrow. Our hope is for today. He who was, he who is, he who was, he who is, he who is to come. Christ the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with a crown upon his head. Every eye will see him with the nail scars in his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he who is to come. Christ the Son of Man, riding on the clouds with a crown upon his head. Every eye will see him with the nail scars in his hands. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
See you next week.